The following is a presentation of the High Spot Podcast. Making their way to the ring, talking about the world of professional wrestling, the team of Jeff Martin and the trendsetter, Brian Perga, the Jersey Wrecking Crew.
You're listening to the High Spot Podcast. We are the Jersey Wrecking Crew, and you're listening to us on the G-Pops Podcast Network. I am Jeff Martin, alongside my tag team partner, the trendsetter, Brian Perga. You can follow us on all our social media at High Spot Podcast. Recapping the week that was in professional wrestling, trendsetter, what is going on, my man? We got a busy, busy week to recap here in the High Spot Podcast.
Well, would you expect anything less, Jeff, from us? With the members of the crew listening to us, and you guys can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, leave a 5-star rating and review. Tell us how we're doing, all the other social media platforms out there as well. You know, it just seems like we're getting towards the tail end of summer now, which is hard to believe, because for me, it never happened. It never did. Dealing with a cold. Guys, I'm dealing with a cold in the summer. How sad is that?
A little bit of congestion there.
Little congestion. Some people say my voice sounds better and sexier. Maybe I should do an overnight High Spot Podcast show. We should do it like, you know...
Love Doctor.
Yes, exactly. The Love Doctor. Well, this is the voice of the trendsetter, I guess, now. But it's amazing that it's just gone by so quickly. But again, there's something to look forward to towards the tail end of summer. I mean, we obviously have SummerSlam we'll be talking about. We're on the road towards SummerSlam. But also, we have Boardwalk Beatdown in August. We have All in Chicago, Illinois, a historic moment in professional wrestling for us. Then before you know it, we're going to be on the cruise ship. We're going to be on the Jericho Cruise and all the other stuff that I'm doing with Adventures of the Trendsetter that you're going to be joining me as well in. So it's going to be a busy week, plus all the independent wrestling that we're covering in the tri-state area as well. So exciting is an understatement. Busy is an understatement. We're just doing this for all you guys, the crew. And you know what? Let's dive into it now, Jeff, because there's just not enough time that we have on the show to be talking about every single thing. But we'll get some of the bullet points out to you guys right now, because some significant stuff did happen on Raw and SmackDown that we need to talk about.
But before we do, we want to let you know that ACH is our guest this week, and of course our weekly interview presented by Collar and Elbow. ACH will talk about being all in, of course, his time at the Best of the Super Juniors, and that will be coming up shortly here on the High Spot Podcast. But yes, we are just less than a month away from all these big events here, and we got to get to it right away. But first and foremost, we want to reflect, and we want to send our thoughts and prayers to the family of Nikolai Volkoff, Brian Christopher, a.k.a. Brian Lawler, and of course Brickhouse Brown, who all passed on Sunday. And again, we want to send our condolences. You know, again, it's a time to reflect, and you know, all the contributions that they made to the wrestling business. And this is a fraternity. You know, it's a close knit family, so when something like this happens, when one of their own falls, a lot of people are there, you know, to send their condolences, and that's what we're going to do here on the High Spot Podcast. No matter what you think of you know, of anybody here, it is unfortunate of their passing. And of course, Nikolai Volkoff, Hall of Famer, his contributions in the 80s, his match with Hulk Hogan, teaming up with the Iron Sheik as tag team champions. You have, of course, Brian Christopher, Grandmaster Sexy, Too Cool, teaming up with Rikishi.
Scotty Too Hotty.
And in that time, in the Attitude Era, they were a huge, huge tag team in that division, too. So, obviously, very entertaining. Of course, Brickhouse Brown, I'm a little too young for that time, but again, to just another great man too, and a great wrestler, and his contributions should also be praised here. And three big losses to the wrestling community over the weekend.
No question about that. I think you said it very clearly, very eloquently, Jeff. It's a time for, you said, reflection. It's a time for mourning for all of us in the world of professional wrestling, that, you know, whether you're in the business itself, you're a colleague, you're somebody who knew these individuals, or you're somebody like us who are fans, we love this business and we love the people. Despite whatever it is, you might, like Jeff said, think about the individuals. Their contributions go without saying. And when you lose somebody like that, it's definitely something you're never ready for. You can never prepare for it. It's always unexpected, no matter what you hear in news and rumors and things of that nature. But ultimately, it just makes me, at least Jeff, and I can't speak for you, be more grateful for the time I have. And something I've mentioned to you several times before, Jeff, and I think it serves a purpose to say it now. Sometimes we get lost in the journey of trying to get to whatever goal or destination we want to get to. Sometimes to take a step back isn't necessarily a bad thing. So when things like this happen, it does allow me to sit back and be very appreciative of obviously working with you, Jeff, my colleague, of my family as well. And for all you guys, the crew listening in and showing us your support week in and week out, whether it be our YouTube channel or be the shows they're doing here and everything else that we're involved in, definitely shows you a great sign of appreciating the one thing that's most important in anything, life. So I thank you for that. And our condolences goes out to all those families, because right now there's a time that nobody ever wants to deal with. But unfortunately, it's just the sad part of life.
Last week we were off because we had a lot of interviews for our YouTube, and, you know, damn it, we wanted to at least enjoy a nice week.
Yeah, let's be honest. We just needed the day off.
We needed the week off, man. So what we decided to do is we gave you three amazing YouTube interviews with Brian Pillman Jr. of MLW, who will be making his debut very soon for MLW, as was announced by Kurt Bauer. You get to see LAX, who have made headlines now because on the Jericho Cruise, they will be there in a dream matchup against the Young Bucks, and you can only see it, SEA, on the cruise. So if you have time, if you're not doing anything from October 27th to the 31st, you definitely want to catch this matchup, want to book your cabin. It's going to be an amazing event on the Jericho Cruise. We will be there, so we're going to get to see them. So we caught up with them before the announcement was made, and they talked about wanting to take on the Briscoes. So you definitely want to check that out. So maybe one day we can get a triple threat match maybe on the cruise between the Briscoes and the Young Bucks and LAX, three of the best tag teams out there in the world.
That's your fantasy booking right there, Jeff.
Yeah, we talked to them in the Bronx after a great Battle Cup Pro show that we went to.
Awesome hot job. Day.
Hot. And our first Bronx trip, too. So you can check that out on YouTube. And also you can check out our interview with Austin Theory, who is one of the top independent wrestlers out there. We caught up with him at Innovative Pro. He was there for To Hell and Back. We talked about, you know, his trip to New York City in the metropolitan area and, you know, if his future entailed one day WWE. So you have three great interviews. Just go to the YouTube channel, High Spot Podcast, and you can also catch Adventures with the Trendsetter there for your viewing pleasure. And when I say pleasure, I mean pleasure. Trendsetter, what you got going on there?
Oh, the pleasure's all yours. A whole bunch of interviews I've done. I've put in the can, guys, and it's going to come out pretty soon. And that's COME. That's going to come out pretty soon because, you know, we have some male stars there. We have now what I'm trying to do now is basically reach out to more PR departments to get a wider range of talent, because eventually after a while you start kind of don't want to interview the same people, and I always like keeping things new and fresh. But at the same time, an evolution of what Adventures of the Trendsetter, what I hope for it to be, not just in the present but in the near future. So we'll be talking about that down the road. But we have like Ryan Driller, Kimmy Kaboom, it's going to come on, Tana Lee. You know, those are just a few names that are going to be on the show, and then one special show, which will be talking about the world of adult toys with Dee Bertino, which she'll be on the show as well. So a lot of content out there for you guys, plus finishing up all my AVN stuff that I have not put out yet too for you guys. I know you guys are waiting for it. It's a nice guest. You'll enjoy it.
Not dated
it.
Or nothing?
It's not dated. Whatever. What is dated from a convention? I've seen people post stuff on YouTube, Jeff, from like 5 years ago. And you're like, oh, look. Oh, that's 2 months. It got uploaded 2 months ago. So, you know, it's still new. It's still not January, so I still have time. So you'll see all of it. It'll be out eventually. I promise you.
So when you're running into me around like a mad dog for interviews, it'll be worth it.
When do I ever run you down for interviews, Jeff?
That day,
it's more the opposite. Brian, we got to get it's done. Brian, you got to do this. Brian, you got to do that. Brian, did you finish doing it? Leave me alone. Leave me alone. I can barely put my own content out there, okay? Give me a break. Give me five seconds.
So what are you putting? You're putting the High Spot Podcast on the
I'm asleep,
burner?
And my phone is ringing. It's just texting me, Brian. Did you get your email?
I'm a taskmaster. I can't even talk right now. I'm a taskmaster. What can
you're
I
a taskmaster,
say?
And you can't speak English.
True. But listen, even though we didn't do a show, you still were applying to other shows, I guess, and you were on Between the Ropes, so you're kind of moonlighting.
Define applying. I was not applying to other shows.
Let's be honest, man. You want to see greener pastures,
I was reached out by our good friend Brian Fritz,
the
man.
The Podcast and I call Network.
Him, yes, and we thank him
the
so
Godfather.
Much for that. The Godfather. That's his name now. It's the Godfather. I reached out and wanted to know if I'd be willing enough to help co-host the show with him. I was deeply honored, and I was like, yeah, sure, I would love to do it. Trying to figure out scheduling, we did it, and it's just amazing, Jeff. Just for example, we do a show here. We try to condense in an hour. Brian, that wasn't the thing. We're just going.
Oh, no, his shows go long.
Yeah, going full blown. Yeah. And little did we know, we had gone 3 hours talking about stuff. And there weren't a lot of topics, but we just kind of went in depth on it, like you and I do, especially when we're not doing the show.
Do
it's
went?
Amazing.
How do you think it flowed? You guys do you guys see a future? Do you think you did well?
Are you nervous? Is that why you're asking this question? I'm shaking a little bit here.
I want to know if I got to start putting.
Well, let me ask you a
question.
How did it sound?
It sounded really good, man. I got to give you props.
Do you think there was chemistry between Brian and?
I like that. I like the, they should name it Brian and Brian instead of Between the Ropes. Although you know he's invested his money on Between the Ropes.
Yeah, but, I think it's a little too late to change the name.
But I like it. I like the content. You guys have very good chemistry. More better rapport than we do. But we got to put on this. So how does it feel though, from being called maybe
that
to
I
the
agree.
Minor league, from being called to the minor leagues, maybe to the show? How did it feel to be called up to the show?
See, you say be called to the show. You know, any show that I do is
a compliment. For
I know, and I'm sure Brian will take it full. He loves compliments. He'll take it completely. But it was interesting because it was a different dynamic. But at the end of the day, it's about talking about the same thing, Jeff. It's professional wrestling, which I loved. I enjoyed talking with Brian. I think that's the longest I've ever spoken to Brian, literally in a span that I've spoken him on the phone or I've tweeted him, messaged him. We hung out during our time in Orlando for WrestleMania weekend. But that's the longest I've ever spoken to Brian about a particular topic, which is pro wrestling. So it was great, man. I enjoyed it. I hope to do it again down the road. I've mentioned that to Brian. If he wants to do it again, I am more than willing to help out you as well. I told him the three of us should really come on, and I did my best. I tried very subtly to plug the show during Between the Ropes. So I hope I did my job well.
Oh, you really plugged the show well. Very professional, too. And I can see Brian was, like, impressed because you name-dropped me there a little bit. You name-dropped the show. And you did it all without disturbing the whole conversation between you guys. So that was really well appreciated, too. But now let's move on now, finally, to the High Spot Podcast because that's the show we're on today. And I want you to remember that, Trendsetter, because, you know, you got to see me every
that's
Friday.
It's okay. There's nervous tone in your voice right now. We're fine,
Jeff. Nerves.
For now.
So we're good? We're good.
We're good for now.
Okay, for now. Okay, I'll take that. All right, Trendsetter, Brock Lesnar is back. He returned this past week on Monday Night Raw. And to say that this was maybe the highlight of the whole Raw would be not an understatement, maybe fact, because that's, to me, was the highlight. It was Return of the Beast. And one thing, I guess the thing that left the most impression on me was that the Miami fans were yelling at the end of the night, "We want Roman." And that, to me, is the WWE patting themselves on the back because I believe that the job they've been wanting to do and turn the fans against Brock towards Roman's side, I believe that it's happening, and we've got, I would say, 3 weeks before we get to SummerSlam. The tides could be turning, man. The WWE and Vince McMahon's master plan could be coming to fruition because the crowd finally cracked last night, and they were yelling out, "We want Roman. We want Roman." And that's what sticks out to me the most from this past Monday night.
So kind of what you're talking about right now, Jeff, isn't necessarily a highlight of Brock Lesnar, the anticipation of seeing him back on WWE programming. It's more the highlight of the night. Whatever theoretically might have saved the night was the fact that the crowd was chanting, "Let's go, Roman." Something we've never seen, nor do we ever think we were hearing. I got to admit, I was kind of, I was kind of cleaning out my ears with all the buildup blacks in there.
It's "We want Roman."
Yeah,
"Let's go, Roman."
Okay, all right. So yeah. You know, there maybe some were chanting that too. You don't know.
Huh?
You don't know that there are a lot of things that people chant.
More people
that,
were yelling out, "We want Roman." I'll tell you that.
Okay, well, I'm speaking for the minority, all right, Jeff. Unlike you, I don't go with just the flow of things. I'm speaking for the minority, all right? Especially the females out there that love Roman. "We want Roman." All right. So, that being said, that might have been the highlight as opposed to the anticipation of Brock Lesnar coming back because WWE writing, kind of how you're talking about it with crowd reaction, are really working and maybe Vince McMahon and the writing team and their master plan of really painting this picture of Brock Lesnar, of really just not caring about WWE, especially the quote-unquote WWE universe, and it really starts building some resentment. But you know what, Jeff, I want to wait because that was 1 week. Can you do that in the second week? Can you do that? And the go-home show. But more importantly, the biggest deciding factor, which will finally make me admit it, and I would admit it on air when we're doing the show, especially during SummerSlam weekend, if the Brooklyn crowd is still the same enthusiastic crowd and they're chanting that same thing and they've turned on Brock Lesnar and have bought into Roman Reigns, then I will say that master plan worked. For 1 week, come on, man.
Yeah, okay. You're right. 1 week doesn't mean anything maybe, but it did leave an impression on me. We want Roman.
But what's sad, Jeff, for a three-hour show, that's probably the only thing that left an impression on you.
Yeah, I mean, the whole Sasha Bailey thing, they're friends again now, the Boston hug connection. please.
Wow, so original. You know, yeah. Maybe the Rock and Sock connection was a, you know,
yeah,
the
I think past everyone, now. I think everyone knows what that's from, Trendsetter. You have to remind them about the Rock and Sock connection. But, yeah, I mean, that's the only thing that impressed me. And then now we go to SmackDown Live, and again, another show where, you know, we see the return of Charlotte, and she takes on Carmella, too, there. And then AJ Styles and Samoa Joe, that rivalry is taking shape as we head into SummerSlam. We were talking about the chances of Samoa Joe possibly winning that championship at SummerSlam, because he's kind of had lots of start and stops, and you're wondering right now, ever since he came over to SmackDown, he kind of, you know, really has made an impact on the show, no pun intended. But can he finally back up his talk and defeat AJ Styles, who now is over 260 plus days as the WWE champion? So,
you don't need to say the number. People know how many days he's been the champion. WWE deals enough time of saying that, so you don't need to repeat it, Jeff. Come on.
So what stuck to you as far as SmackDown Live?
What stuck to me is that you had to announce another show. People know, Jeff, that SmackDown Live is another show, all right? Let's treat the crew with some respect and courtesy. SmackDown Live is a separate show, okay? You don't need to address it. What stuck out to me, honestly, from the show was, you know, again, what I'm looking forward to basically from a three-hour show to a two-hour show is the fact that, you know, SmackDown Live seems to be more of the wrestling-based show.
No.
It does have some storylines that I'm more interested in and intrigued by than Raw gives me. Because with Raw right now, the only thing that everything is focused on is the Universal title, Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar. Everything else is kind of, you kind of pay attention to it, but you don't. The whole AJ Styles and Samoa Joe thing really it intrigues me, because, you know, we've seen this in TNA / Impact, pun is intended here. But I'm a little nervous, Jeff. And the reason why I'm nervous from this is because I'm looking forward to it. I definitely want to see it at SummerSlam, which we're going to see because he signed the contract. It's going to be AJ versus Samoa Joe. But here's my question to you, and this is something I asked Brian too, Jeff. Do you have some preconceived notion that you're a little nervous, because we thought this, we had the same anticipation, the same excitement when it came to Shinsuke and AJ Styles, and that kind of fell flat on its face until like the last match of the series, where that was actually the best match.
Could this one fall flat, you mean?
Do you think this one could fall flat?
It could, man. I mean, unless...
I'm sorry, I was being long-winded there. I was trying to build a picture, okay? I'm sorry.
I was trying to get to the point.
Stop knocking my deck of cards.
But the point is, will it fall flat? I don't know. I hope it doesn't, because we've seen them have great matches again on TNA.
But do you think? You hope not, but do
you
think?
I hope not.
What does your gut tell you? They're going to live up to par?
No, my gut tells me that it won't be.
Really? And with all the chemistry they've had with each other and all the times
Shinsuke and AJ had chemistry. But
they had they wrestled each other that many times, though? Like Samoa Joe and AJ, though?
Well, I mean...
I'm not trying to change your mind.
It says it worse, though, because in... Even if they wrestled such fewer times, the chemistry was there. So now when they get together again at WrestleMania, like they did in New Orleans, it should have picked up right where they left off, and it didn't. Something was missing in it, whether it was, you know, it wasn't as hard hitting as it was back in New Japan, or whether there's more constrictions, or whether they try to, you know, have more of a psychological kind of match. I think that. The last match that they had was the best one that they had.
Last Man Standing match?
Last Man Standing match. I think that was the best match that they had as far as the whole series.
We're talking
of matches.
Shinsuke AJ here.
Yes. Okay. And now as we head into Samoa Joe and AJ Styles, they really haven't, you know, we've seen Samoa Joe get the best of AJ so far, as we saw last week with the chokeout. And now Samoa Joe's getting personal with AJ's kids. So, you know, we will see, though. But what I do say, though, is this. If you're going to have Samoa Joe, you know, talk to talk and attack AJ Styles as much as he has and get the upper hand, then anything but a victory at SummerSlam would really hurt Samoa Joe and taking him seriously going forward.
Okay, so in your mindset, then, a win at SummerSlam, say he doesn't get the win at SummerSlam, but he does eventually end up getting the title from AJ. Is this the point now where you feel the transition's there, where, you know, not that we want to see AJ drop the title, but maybe now you can have that heel champion that we wanted so much? Does Samoa Joe fit that bill for you?
It's so funny, because I've never, like, I've wanted a heel champion, but as far as SmackDown, I love AJ so much that it really doesn't bother me that he's kept it this long. He's been the man. He's been the workhorse as far as all the wrestlers. You know, you've got the Land of the Giants on Raw. You got Brock, who's the champion, who, you know, the fans are bitching because he doesn't show up, whatever. You know, that's them being...
And people are bitching at Roman because he's Roman.
That's them being whiny and stuff. And, yeah. You know, they want Braun to cash in that Money in the Bank at SummerSlam. But AJ's been the man. AJ's such the top babyface, clear cut above and beyond on SmackDown. I know Daniel Bryan is there, but he's got his little program with The Miz. But But besides that, the other guy I wanted to see the champion would be Daniel Bryan. So I think that I wouldn't mind seeing AJ hold that till WrestleMania. There's, to me, no rush to take the title off of him. I would just say that would validate Samoa Joe more as the heel, the number one heel on that show if he were to win that title. But
with all the opponents out there, it makes more sense you would say Samoa Joe, would you say?
Yeah,
as opposed to a legitimate threat for his championship reign.
Yeah, I think he is the biggest threat to AJ, and we will see what happens. And you're right, though. If he does clear that hurdle of Samoa Joe, who else is out there to challenge AJ Styles going forward? Because I want to see that match, but I want to see AJ Styles versus Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania. That's what I hope it's leading up to. I know Daniel Bryan is now in a current program with The Miz. It's getting all personal. It's what everybody wants to see. Hopefully that doesn't fall flat either.
Yeah.
Because The Miz got the best of Daniel Bryan before. Now Daniel Bryan, the only way that Daniel Bryan cannot win a fight with The Miz is on the mic. And I believe that if The Miz continues to shred Daniel Bryan on the mic, I think that that might fall flat either as well, because I want to see interaction. There has to be some kind of interaction. I just don't think calling The Miz soft, as much as a lot of people want to believe that and kind of think that, I just think there needs to be more action in the ring between both of them. There needs to be more physicality than them, because Daniel Bryan will not win a war of words with The Miz. So there you go. And, of course, Charlotte now will be in a triple threat match with Carmella and Becky Lynch.
How tired
SummerSlam.
Are you, Jeff, honestly, of triple threat matches, man?
Well, they got to get Charlotte in there somewhere, I guess, and they have to make it a triple threat. Plus, it's a way where maybe Becky Lynch pins Charlotte and Carmella doesn't have to lose it clean. And then here's the thing to me. Now that Charlotte comes in, we really thought the real feel-good story would be Becky Lynch, but what about Charlotte reclaiming her throne as a top female in the WWE by beating Carmella? So it adds another wrinkle into that, having a triple threat match for the SmackDown Live Women's Championship.
I agree. It adds another wrinkle, another what could happen, a possibility of what things could happen, whether Carmella could retain, whether Becky Lynch doesn't have to be defeated, whether Charlotte does retain the regain the championship. I don't know. I just feel like Becky has worked very hard towards this opportunity. It should stand on its own. But again, I'm not the one running the books. If I was, I wouldn't be here talking to you, Jeff. We wouldn't be talking on this show right now. But ultimately, I do understand it. I'm just kind of just fed up with it, though. Because to me, when you put triple threat matches in place, Jeff, for the most part, some of them make sense. But for the most part, some of the storylines are just, you're just putting bodies in there because you just want to get the person on the card. Like you said, they got to get Charlotte on the show. And this is a perfect example. When you get Charlotte on the show, granted, she's been gone for this long. She does have history, so you can just jump right back into it, but at this stage, you're going to jump right back into it? Fine. Okay, I guess. Do it. Do it. Do it, Jeff.
Do it. And when we come back, we're going to talk about Ring of Honor. We're going to talk about some NXT news as well. We'll get into some New Japan, too, as the G1 tournament is still going on, and we'll do all that.
Let me say that. It's still going on. It's such a long tournament.
Day 130. No, it's still going on, and Hangman, unfortunately, has been officially eliminated from advancing.
That was my pick right there.
Is that really, really pick?
Yeah, he was my wild card, because I thought this tournament would have been great for him to showcase his skills, which he probably did, but again, it didn't end result in victories.
You can always blame it on worrying too much about killing Joey Ryan, so that could be his.
Hey, that's not proven. Stop it right there for those false accusations, Jeff.
And Kenny remains undefeated in the G1, so it's going to lead eventually to a matchup with Kota Ibushi, and I cannot wait for that. I guess we kind of did cover the G1 right there in a nutshell, but right now we will talk to ACH, but after that we'll talk a little bit of Ring of Honor. We'll talk a little bit of the All In, as well as a new match has been added to that. So, but before we do that, it's time for the Collar and Elbow interview of the week, and it's brought to you by Collar and Elbow. It is an apparel brand founded by Al Snow, mixing wrestling passion with street fashion, from cool-looking headwear to great-looking men's and women's shirts. Check out their entire summer fashion line by going to collarxelbowbrand.com and save 10% on your entire online purchase just by entering promo code HIGHSPOTPODCAST, all in caps. And you want to wish Collar and Elbow a happy one-year anniversary, up to 75% off in discounted apparel. You can find it on the website. So do that and see if you can put in our promo code HIGHSPOTPODCAST and see if you can get some good summer clothes for sale, because believe it or not, summer is winding down. I cannot believe that.
Stop rubbing it in, man. Seriously.
But right now, here is our interview with the man, the myth, ACH, talking about All In and the best of the Super Juniors. All right, Trendsetter, I'm going to give him the all-in introduction here that says on the StarCast website. So he is an international star. He's been seen in Ring of Honor, Impact Wrestling, Noah, and New Japan Pro Wrestling. He's a former Evolve Tag Team Champion. He's currently wrestling in MLW. And, folks, most importantly, he's all in at StarCast. We are joined by ACH. What's going on, man?
Hey, man. How you doing?
So, first and foremost, man, welcome to the show. Glad to have you on. And
thank you for having me.
Yeah, and let's talk about the Best of the Super Juniors, first and foremost, because, again, that was another competitive tournament in New Japan. Talk about, and you being there actually the consecutive years now, just talk about your experience this year compared to last year in the tournament.
I think there was a lot of understanding and a lot of maturing in front of that audience for me. Like, I felt like the second time around, I had a better understanding of the audience and who I was as a character and a performer. So I felt like I was really more comfortable this time around compared to my time last year.
And what do you take out of your experience in New Japan? You know, it's a whole different style, whole different lifestyle as well, too. What are the one? Do you love going over there and wrestling for the fans? Just the atmosphere and what it's like to wrestle in Japan.
Dude, I love it. Oh man, it's like a dream come true. Also, too, it really helps translate my character, which, I mean, it's really just me. Not even turned up. It's just me every day, honestly. And when I'm in Japan, I feel like they get a lot of the references and the little things that I do with my character. And I think the American audience is able to understand it a lot more when they see me in that element. So being in Japan has helped me become a better performer overall, especially within the States and just everything else. Just getting the audience, you know, accustomed to the things that you do. I think that's like the best thing you can ask for as a professional wrestler, because you want to build your brand the best way you can. So when the people are accustomed to the things that you do and they recognize the things that you do, it helps the brand and it helps you as a performer.
Well, talk about, for example, the crowd, the audience. Talk about a lot of people say that the Japanese crowd, they kind of like sitting on their hands, they're kind of quiet. You don't know exactly if you're tearing it up or if you're having a bad match. Yeah. Talk about the difference in styles as far as like the American fan to a Japanese fan.
The American fans, they come in waves. One moment you can have them up really high and then they can come down really low. They kind of peak one moment, then they're down. They're up and down, if you will. And I feel like the Japanese crowd, there's just a steady build. When you finally get to that end, to that peak, man, they're going absolutely nuts. And the New Japan crowd is a little bit different than most Japanese crowds. I've heard people say that they're a little bit more Americanized because of all the American wrestlers that they get to see on the regular. But, I mean, honestly, I think that's the difference is, I mean, the American fans are engaged, just like the Japanese fans are engaged. I think they just react different, and they just have certain builds that are just different. Like I said, the American crowd would be very up and down. The Japanese crowd is always like a steady build to them.
And if you want to check out ACH, I suggest to subscribe to New Japan World and check out the 2018 Best of the Super Juniors. Really great way having a coming out party there to the international crowd there, ACH. One match that really was amazing was you and Flip Gordon. That's the one that was on YouTube and everywhere. How was that style? Like, how was it like wrestling Flip and getting a lot of attention with that match?
Honestly, that was the birth. That was actually like the coming out party of all the changes I had made to my style of wrestling after I left Ring of Honor. That was honestly like the coming out party for it. Everyone got to see me in a different light. People got to see a different side of the gimmick, a different side of the character of ACH that a lot of people weren't used to. I was a little bit more aggressive. I definitely adopted more of the Japanese style of pro wrestling in my style. So yeah, it was awesome. I really enjoyed that match a lot. Flip did an ex- did a fantastic job. I think he's one of those guys people definitely have to look out for. And I was telling someone at the end of the tour, I was like, the cool thing was to see the progression in Flip Gordon from that match all the way to his last match. He really progressed throughout the tournament, and he was the MVP for me in the tournament.
Well, despite all that, he's still not all in, though, right?
I know you're booked. You're at StarCast, but yet
Flip. Well, I was like, I'm not booked.
Well, you'll be there though, and Flip's not allowed to be anywhere on the premises. So at least you got that up on him. You know,
that's more we can say for Flip. He's probably not even allowed in the area, Chicago.
Yeah, good point.
Speaking of that, though, you were talking about how you're talking about styles and styles make matches, and there's a lot of chemistry involved there. Let's talk a little bit more about your character. You said you basically go out there, you're not really turning up the volume, really basically yourself. So in terms of your in-ring work, are there certain individuals that you somewhat, I wouldn't say copy, but somewhat emulated until you kind of developed your own style?
Then before I was comfortable in my own shoes and like to where I am now, which I'm still having trouble. Man, honestly, I didn't really try to recreate anybody that I saw. I mean, I maybe have taken small things here and there, but I honestly, in a day and age where it's really hard to be original, I try to be as original as possible.
No, it is impossible to be original sometimes.
It's so hard. Yeah, it is, and it's so hard to do something because it may be new to you, but everyone's like, well, such and such did it, or, you know what I mean? So I try to keep blinders up, and I learn, and I study. I watch as much wrestling as any wrestler should, in my opinion. I watch a lot, but yeah, like I was saying, I try to be as original as possible from the anime. I use a lot of anime influence in my style of wrestling and just how I like to get the fans to view my art. Very anime related.
Anime, also to video game world. We've been introduced through professional wrestling. Obviously, Kenny Omega and, Bullet Club, and just that world has been kind of mixed together in with wrestling, and you're allowed to do that as well, as far as, like, use of the anime and the video gaming with the Street Fighter. Talk about that. Talk about both those worlds colliding, if there's any similarities that you see in those two worlds.
We're all geeks. That's
say it proud, man.
We're all geeks. we're all geeks, man. But no, it's pretty cool to see all that stuff kind of clash together and kind of being somewhat in the forefront of the wrestlers nowadays. I remember being in locker rooms with like a lot of the older guys, and they would complain, and all you guys talk about is comic books and cartoons and video games. That's not what wrestling is. But I mean, unfortunately, that's what you guys attracted, was the geeks, the nerds, the outcast kids. And we've brought all that into wrestling, and we pulled guys that or probably have never even been interested in wrestling, but they saw wrestling through anime and video games, and that made them a fan. So it's pretty cool to reach out and, just draw in a whole audience that's just like you, similar to you and stuff like that. So it's cool to see the whole community come together.
Well, speaking of the community, wouldn't you say the similarities, though, would be for the fact that, depending on the console of your choice, which I'm going to ask you right now, what's your console of choice? Is it PlayStation? Is it PS4? Are you more of old school, like Nintendo and stuff like that?
I'm a PlayStation guy, but I have a Switch.
Okay, you have a Switch. I'll let that go. But speaking of that, in terms of the characters, whether, it's being the Elite and they're playing Street Fighter, for example, against the New Day, it's amazing that, you end up going to a fantasy similar to wrestling where it's like, although there are a lot of things that, most people now sometimes know what's happening behind the curtain, it's still a fantasy to them, and it's something that you guys portray in the ring. So in that way, both worlds kind of link in that way, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, definitely. And it's pretty cool for it all to happen, man. Honestly, I didn't think we would come this far as a wrestling community. Wrestling has genuinely uplifted a lot of people. It's changed a lot of lives when I hear stories from fans saying once they got into wrestling, everything just seemed so better, just the way that they were emotionally connected. So, awesome. Kudos to wrestling, man. We're doing pretty good for ourselves in this generation.
I want to go back to the Best of the Super Juniors. Of course, the eventual winner was Hiromu Takahashi, and of course, there's a huge scare at the G1 special here in California, and obviously the updates are kind of vague, but whether you like him or not, when you see a fellow wrestler suffer an injury like that, especially to the neck area, in a very hard-hitting matchup with Dragon Lee, you got to feel for the guy, and your heart's got to go out to him, especially someone who's obviously as talented as he is. He's got still so much of a future ahead of him.
Yeah, man, that is that's terrible, man. And once I heard it, I was actually kind of, you know, shocked, because if you've seen Dragon Lee and Hormonal Masters, you know they pretty much do a ton of stuff to each other. So you're just thinking that, like, it's just typical Dragon Lee Hormonal Masters. And when something like that happens, you're kind of just shook and disbelief. Still can't believe it, honestly.
Yeah, when you look at something like that, it just definitely, it shakes you to your core and makes you realize, too, that, you know, careers are short. Your time in the ring, you think you have all the time in the world, or you're indestructible, and it can be gone in the blink of an eye just like that. So coming to that, in terms of your in-ring preparation, you seem to keep yourself in such physical great condition. That's one aspect of it. But another aspect, I think people tend to fail or don't realize as much, because they kind of see the show, don't realize the performers behind the quote-unquote characters. But would you say how much more mental preparation, or for example, where you were maybe in your 20s to where you are now in your career, how much mental preparation and grind is there physically and mentally for you guys as you prepare not only for your match, for certain crowds you're in front of, but also for yourself and for your well-being? Because when you want to go out there, you want to make sure you put on a good show, but also you want to make sure you walk out in one piece.
Man, I feel like it's maybe when I was younger, it was 50-50. I feel like it was 50-50, because as you get older, the mental game starts to take more of a toll on you, especially when you have the schedule that I have as like a top performer, where you're just in a different country or a different city, different state every weekend or every day on the weekend. So, you know, it gets real tough, you know, coming home, and you got to be a, you know, not a normal person, but you have to pretty much, you have to go along with your day, you know what I mean? And you got to keep grinding, and you got to stay in shape, you got to eat right, you got to do, you know, so many things physically to make sure that you're okay mentally. So like if you have a weak body, you'll have a, I mean, you'll have a weak mind, and if you have a weak mind, you'll have a weak body and soul. So it's tough, man. It's definitely hard. It's definitely more of a mental grind than anything, you know, especially for a young performer, for someone that wants to break out. And, you know, you feel like you're not doing right. You feel like you might not making enough waves or enough noise. Or, you know what I mean? So you kind of get down on yourself because you feel like you're not doing anything in your career. And sometimes when you're an older guy, like my age, with my experience, you still feel like that. So it's definitely more mental, man. More mental than anything, especially when you get my age, 30.
Well, 30? You're not over the hill, man. Most people don't reach their prime until they're 40.
30 is the new 20, man. Exactly. 30 is the new 20, especially in wrestling now, too.
Unless you physically feel older than 30.
What was that?
And I said unless you physically feel older than 30. I mean, the body obviously can tell the mind what to think, but... You know, speaking of that, though, you said something pretty interesting. I just want to kind of jump off that one real quick. Do you feel like you've slowed down a little bit? Because sometimes when you're young in the business, I hear a lot of people say, especially the veterans tell the younger guys, you got to slow down. Because right now all the dives and the you know, jumping off the top rope and taking these high-risk maneuvers to get noticed become one thing when you're a certain point in the business and you want to get recognized. So do you still toe that line? Because your style, you wouldn't think you're slowed down, but do you feel like you've taken the proper precautions to make sure that you can walk out of a match 100% and feel like a long day has happened, but make sure that you limit yourself in terms of the risks you take?
Yeah, absolutely, man. I definitely slow down. A lot of people don't realize it, and some don't see it, but man, I've slowed down a lot compared to 2-3 years ago.
Yeah, and that's the experience that you get when you're in the ring. You know how to pace yourself, you know what not to do, and if the body's feeling, you know, a little iffy that night, you know, hey, I'm not going to, you know, overstep my bounds and, you know, take chances, especially, you know, when there's money to be made on the wrestling scene now, which is a great time to be in wrestling. And then the transition to that, MLW Battle Riot debuted in New York for the first time, MLW debuted for the first time in, I think it was 10, 15 years in New York, and, you know, to rave reviews. And you've been a part of MLW. Talk about your experience there, and how do you think a company like that can change the game in pro wrestling?
I think it's great. I've really had a good time there so far, man. Everyone backstage is super cool. The locker room is great. The atmosphere is even better. And I feel like companies like this, I mean, just, you know, they have the mom and pop seal. It's the, you know, but it has a big promotion mind state with the mom and pop feel, which is good. And it's just creating more opportunities for guys to get work.
How good has leadership been under Court Bauer? And when you have guys like, you know, Bruce Pritchard there, you know, helping out with the production, and you have somebody that used to be in WWE and kind of maybe gets the promotion of MLW. Do you think that helps too? Do you think the leadership is strong?
Yeah, definitely. It's a good learning tree with even with Low Key backstage, just tons of guys back there to learn from.
You think right now, with the day and age we're living right now, where, you know, Jeff and I, when we did the show, we talked about how in 2017 there seemed to be a huge boom in wrestling, especially now with social media being such a great distributor of all the content out there for you guys to get yourselves out there and brand yourselves and market yourself. Is your ultimate goal, is it WWE? Because it seems nowadays when most people, when you ask them that question, they're like, yeah, I want to go to WWE, but they want to be there for a particular reason. They just want to join it for the sake of joining it. They only want to be there unless they're going to make an impact. Is it a little bit now, I'm trying to be careful what I say here, I don't want to say easier, but more accessible now for talent, not only to distribute their content via social media, but now there's just so many more places to go as opposed to maybe 10 years ago, 15 years ago, when there weren't that many places and the term indie still has a bad rap behind it, but now they seem to be more profitable. You can actually make a pretty comfortable living or successful living working on the independents, working for companies like Ring of Honor, Impact, New Japan, for example. Is your ultimate goal WWE, or are you content knowing that you can go to any other company and still make an impact?
I feel like if you really want to retire as a professional wrestler, you at least have to have go to WWE. And honestly, I know a lot of people get into professional wrestling for different reasons, but I feel like every wrestler's end goal should be WWE at some point. I feel like you have to at least work for WWE at some point. I feel like they have more of the chance of you to, like, there's a lot of indie stars that are top stars, big stars, but you truly won't be recognized unless you do WWE. And I know that can change with it. I mean, it's kind of changing now, but I feel like still, until WWE is taken down, which will never happen, I feel like you at least have to work for WWE at some point.
All right, we're talking to ACH, of course. We thank you for your time here. Final one for me, ACH, and that is this, is that we are less than a month away from probably one of the most historic weekends in pro wrestling, thanks to the minds of Cody and the Young Bucks, and that is All In, and also in conjunction with StarCast. You will be there signing for meet and greets at StarCast, and we will be there too on Podcast Row. And, of course, you're the first person who's doing this. We're doing a set of interviews for All In as we head over there on Labor Day weekend. Just your thoughts on, you know, this event and what it means for pro wrestling and independent wrestling in general.
It means the little dogs can do it too. The little dogs can do it without the machine behind it. It's good for independent wrestlers. It's good for independent contractors. It's good for the business. Hopefully, this can become a yearly thing, where the independents has All In and WWE has WrestleMania, and then New Japan has Wrestle Kingdom, of course. So hopefully this can be something much bigger later down the road. And honestly, it's an honor to be a part of it in any way.
And what days will you, what day will you be there for the meet and greets?
I believe I'll be there Thursday. I'm not sure what the time. We haven't finalized everything, but I will be there. But if I had to take it, Thursday.
All right, ACH, thank you so much. Really appreciate the time. Again, ACH, really thankful for you to give us your time today. And again, best of luck, and we will see you at All In for Labor Day weekend.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. All right, thanks. It was that to ACH. Lots of great information there. Of course, he will be there at All In for StarCast, the meet and greet. So, look forward to seeing ACH there, Trendsetter.
I thought you were going to say Starcade there for a second.
Almost said Starcade, did I? No, StarCast.
No, I thought you were going
to
say
it. Yeah, man, I'm looking forward to, man. Chicago Podcast Row for the Jersey Wrecking Crew there.
We're looking forward to more.
It's going to be huge, man.
The event itself or the atmosphere around it? I'm more excited for the atmosphere around it than the event.
Yeah, the atmosphere, man.
It's going to be crazy.
They say that a lot. I'm looking forward to this, especially the meet and greets.
I'm actually kind of excited with the deep dish pizza I've been hearing so much about down in Chicago. So I'm kind of looking forward to trying that. Wait, then I've been busting my butt in the gym for so long.
If you're from New York, it's going to be tough to adjust because we've got like a Pizzeria Uno here. We've never had their deep dish pizza, which is a way to maybe test it out before we go to Chicago. But they do have a different style of pizza there. Can you get New York pizza in Chicago?
No, I don't think so. I think it's something to do with the water.
Really?
Yeah, well, for example, I had a real quick, guys, I had a buddy that lived in Colorado, is that the pizza there's a lot different than the pizza you would get here in the I want to say New York pizza, because for me, guys, personally, I work in the city.
I'd rather have Jersey pizza.
You know, New York pizza is not all it's cracked up to be. It's really hard to find a good New York spot.
You go to Ray's, but there's 100 of them.
Exactly. Wait, original Ray's or classic Ray's?
Classic Ray's.
Doesn't matter. Yeah. But anyway, he says they had pizza down there in Colorado, and he says that it just tastes different. It has to do with the water they use to
make dough. They make New York pizza in Chicago? That's what I'm asking. Can I go? Can I be in the mood for New York pizza?
You can have New York style pizza, but it's not going to taste the same.
Okay, that's a different enough. Yeah. I could get New York style pizza in Chicago, but we will try the deep dish pizza, because they basically say that it's basically cheese and the meat sauce.
Oh, that's and Homer in, Simpson right there.
Oh, yeah. So we will find out.
Just though. Looking forward to trying something different, basically.
Yeah, and again, we'll be there.
Worst case scenario, we'll have a calzone.
Yeah, a calzone. Again, though, New York calzone. Well, anyways, doesn't really matter. So we will be there for Podcast Row in Chicago. Looking forward to that. We got Boardwalk Beatdown, but so many things going on. Ring of Honor now. Basically, a couple of news and notes for Ring of Honor is that it looks like the one of the matches has been signed for Death by Dishonor in Las Vegas for Ring of Honor in September, and that will be the Bullet Club versus Chaos in a 10-man tag team match. It looks like that's what it's going to be. It's going to be an awesome match. You see Cody, Marty Scurll, Adam Hangman Page, and the Young Bucks go up against Okada, Tomohiro Ishii, Rocky Romero, and best friends Trent Barretta and Chucky T. So that's going to be one heck of a matchup.
The same Rocky Barretta that's been...
No, you're Rocky Romero.
Oh, Rocky Romero, sorry.
Trent Barretta and Chucky T are the best friends.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah, Rocky Romero, you know, from New Japan, who hosts those with our friend Mark Warzeka, who hosts the previews.
He's bullying our buddy.
He is bullying our buddy. Yeah. So, obviously, we might have a rooting factor there for the Bullet Club in that matchup. But, of course, Death by Dishonor happens in September in Las Vegas. Ah, I got fond memories of Vegas, Trent Center. Even though I did absolutely nothing there but follow you around. I just, for some reason...
Which was
I
a
just,
lot of work, by the
for
way.
For some reason, I just love Vegas. I don't know if it's the $9 water. I don't know if it's Panera Bread over there. It's different from over here.
Panera Bread is
something
good.
About Vegas. Because it's Vegas. Vegas. Anyways, and also, too, Ring of Honor seems to have hired Joy Mercury as a trainer for the dojo and maybe / producer. So, interesting. Joy Mercury now joins the fold in Ring of Honor. Good thing? Bad thing?
It's always a good thing when you have somebody has that much experience and is definitely bringing something from, I guess, the WWE production side of things that he's seen and can implement some of those styles. And you never want to – I think the main thing that, you know, I'm not fearful of Ring of Honor, Jeff, that most promotions or companies kind of want to mimic what WWE does – as long as you take some good ideas and kind of turn it into your own, that's a good thing. Plus also, you know, Joey Mercury is definitely a talented athlete. He still wrestles from time to time. And, you know, I think he brings a wealth of knowledge to a locker room that's hungry. So definitely looking forward to that. I think it's going to be a good thing.
And, of course, like we were talking about All In before, another match signed for All In, and that's going to be a 6-man tag team match. It's going to be Kota Ibushi teaming up with the Young Bucks to take on Phoenix Bandido and Rey Mysterio. How awesome is that going to be, that 6-man tag team match? It was Nick Jackson's birthday wish, and they got it, and it's going to be an amazing 6-man tag team match at All In.
You know, it's just the quality of the matches. I mean, and again, a lot of people would say 6-man tag team matches, oh, here we go. Yeah, sometimes it does involve fitting a lot of people because you want everybody else on the card. But here, you have so much talent on there as well. It's going to be a great match, so I'm looking forward to it. It just keeps getting more exciting, even better, and to the point where I'm just getting exhausted because I can only imagine, Jeff, what the Young Bucks and Cody are going through from a day-to-day basis, not only going on the road and wrestling themselves, but having to put this all together. It's crazy. I know I couldn't do it.
Yeah, their phones must be ringing off the hook. And again, as the weeks go by, we'll have more information about the High Spot Podcast at All In. So definitely check that out on our website, highspotpodcast.com, and all our social media at High Spot Podcast. And then, of course, the matches right now signed for All In so far are going to be Okada against Marty Scurll. Can Marty Scurll gain enough calories, enough weight to step up in weight class against a guy like Okada?
Well, you notice he's eating the donuts. He's getting those calories in. They're not great calories, but they are calories nonetheless. But here's the thing. In any fight, Jeff, when you're fighting a larger guy, a bigger guy like an Okada, Marty is just better off sticking to what he knows and what he is. He's going to be the quicker guy. He's going to be the faster guy. He's going to use his speed and agility to outdo Okada, which would not be an easy task. And this is probably the biggest task and match of Marty Scurll's career.
Yeah, definitely the biggest test for him. And then you got Adam Hangman Page against Bad Boy Joey Janela. I'm a little surprised that it wasn't Joey Ryan. I'm surprised that, you know, during the whole lead-up to All In and during being the Elite, that they'd bring back Joey Ryan's ghost, and maybe he didn't die, and maybe he'd come to avenge almost being murdered by Hangman Page. But we're going to get Bad Boy Joey Janela and Adam Hangman Page. Well, the reason I like this match is because they're both risk takers. They're both willing to put their necks on the line here, and it's going to be an interesting matchup because both these guys do whatever it takes to get a victory.
Oh, neither one leaves anything left in the ring. They both leave it all out there too. One man will be walking away from this not being the same, and you know, although Hangman has not had a great record in terms of big matches like this and big profile matches, I like to think that this will be the time for him to shine. But we'll see, because again, there's a lot of things that in fruition you talked about, you know, you thought was going to be Joey Ryan. At least there's a Joey facing Hangman. It's not the Joey you thought it was going to be. But again, we can't expect All In to be like this some type of exorcism, bringing back people from the dead. You can't do it. It was never going to happen. Joey Ryan is dead. He is gone. He is never coming back. So this is a good consolation prize.
And then, of course, you've got Cody and Nick Aldis for the NWA World Championship, the 10 pounds of gold. Obviously, Nick Aldis wanted to renegotiate. It seems that Cody has put his ring, he's put it as collateral now. So I think it kind of equals the ante there for Nick Aldis and Cody. But again, it gives Nick Aldis a shot to maybe, I guess, solidify his victory, because as Cody Rhodes said, and it was the elephant in the room, Nick Aldis defeated 53-year-old history teacher to become the NWA champion. Look at the lineage. Look at the long list that Cody has fought. He's beaten Kenny Omega at Supercard on the biggest night of Ring of Honor to date. And, you know, he's solidified himself as a main attraction. For God's sakes, he's promoting a 10,000-seat arena sold out at All In. Nick Aldis, what have you done? So I think that kind of shut up Nick Aldis, and I think we're going to have an amazing match. But guys, subscribe to NWA, 10 pounds of gold. That is an amazing documentary, and to hype it up, to hype up this matchup, this main event caliber matchup, you definitely want to, you know, subscribe and watch these lead-ins, because it is just amazing stuff, and Dave Lagana, Billy Corgan doing a good job. It's amazing, right? You have the ability to promote yourself with a video camera, and that's all basically Lagana's doing. He had that successful one with Drew McIntyre, and, you know, it led to to Dave Lagana branching out, and now look what he's done. He's doing this for the NWA, and again, they're making a name for themselves with these documentaries on YouTube, and it's just easy, man, to promote yourself. You just got to have the time. You got to want to do it. And they're doing it right now. And right now, the talk, now the buzz for the NWA Championship, it's something that we haven't had in maybe 10 years.
Well, the buzz is there, Jeff. There's no question about that. I thought the buzz would have been so much more, and it would have been so much more exciting and enthralling from a fan standpoint if Cody was the Ring of Honor World Heavyweight Champion. Title for title. I know you mentioned the rings is now in place for collateral, but interesting point you made too, an interesting comment that Cody made as well, talking about Nick Aldis and his journey to the NWA championship. And, you know, very few times have I seen the champion actually needing this victory more than the challenger.
Yeah, Cody, that big elephant in the room that Cody mentioned, man, no one touched it. But Cody went there.
We knew he was there, but nobody touched it.
Yeah, and no knock against Tim Storm. But that is truth. That is fact. He is 53 years old, and he's a part-time teacher. So, I mean, you know, not well-known. You know, he's a good wrestler. He had to be to become the NWA champion. But still, look at Cody's resume. Look at Nick Aldis's resume. You know, who are you gonna back?
Yeah, well, right now it's apples and oranges, so this is probably the biggest match in Nick Aldis's career to solidify himself as the NWA World Heavyweight Champion and to make sure that he's not just some pushover, that he's a rightful champion to that throne.
Yeah, of course, Impact Wrestling will have its media call, and you can go to highspotpodcast.com and check out some audio clips of that where we had guests were LAX. We were able to talk about the dream matchup between them and the Young Bucks on the Jericho Cruise, so definitely want to make sure you listen to the audio from that. The Impact Wrestling media conference call with LAX is available. Ronda Rousey will make her Raw in-ring debut this coming Monday against Alicia Fox, trendsetter. You think it's the right time for for Ronda Rousey to make her Raw in-ring debut, as they're, I guess, trying to push this matchup with Alexa Bliss heading to SummerSlam?
Absolutely not. It's not the right time.
No?
You want to keep her off TV as much as possible. Not off TV.
Off TV?
Out of the ring as much as possible right now. But, again, they're trying to boost the ratings. They're trying to build that anticipation for SummerSlam between Alexa Bliss and Ronda Rousey. So, yeah, I get it. But for her in-ring debut, no offense to Alicia Fox, but it's kind of like, okay, you're really kind of just putting this as a placeholder. Unfortunately, Alicia finds herself as just a stepping stone to Ronda Rousey after she had been gone for such a long period of time.
Oh, you don't give Alicia Fox a shot?
Well, there's always a puncher's chance, Jeff. And by puncher's chance, I mean my me slapping you in the back of the head for even making that comment. But no, I don't give Alicia Fox any chance in this whatsoever. But again, I get it. You want to promote it. It's something big. First time ever. First time Ronda Rousey will be wrestling in the ring on Raw. And if you got the reaction from what happened on Raw, she is still enthralled by the response she gets when she gets out there. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting how they do it. You know Alexa Bliss is going to work away in this as well. So again, take it for what it is. It'll be a nice little spectacle there. And it's all leading up to SummerSlam.
All right, Trendsetter, we are the Jersey Wrecking Crew. I'm Jeff Martin, and you are my tag team partner, Brian Berger, for the time being, unless you go to between the ropes, and then I'm out of a co-host or, you know. See the writing on the wall, Trendsetter.
A little chucked up there, I see, Jeff. A little nervous,
yeah,
I see.
It's congestion, man. It's that time of the year. Anyways, folks, you can find us on the Cheap Pops Podcast Network. It is Brian Fritz's baby there, the flagship show there. You can follow Between the Ropes as it downloads every Wednesday. And, of course, the Trendsetter had a big part in last week's show. Awesome show, you know, Brian and Brian on Between the Ropes. You can catch the Cosmetic Geppetto, Sports Guys Talking Wrestling, Stu Myers and Justin Simmons, Stick to the Gimmick, Spencer Davies and Martin Harp as they break down NXT. Tommaso Ciampa is killing it on Twitter and social media as the NXT champion. And of course, you can listen to us also on the Shining Wizards and B Plus Player Radio Networks with such podcasts and shows like Kickin' Ass Podcast with Jesse and Andy, A Shot of Wrestling, and of course, Outsider's Edge with Mark Adam Haggerty.
And don't forget, guys, also catch us on iTunes. Check us out on SoundCloud, TuneIn, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean. Also follow us on all our social media platforms out there, Twitter, Facebook, likes on Facebook, Instagram, and of course, Jeff, our bread and butter, the ones that have really been gaining so much momentum so far, our YouTube channel that just is only a few months old. It's already gotten 700 subscribers, and that goes out to each
over
and every
107.
One.
Don't count short there. Over 700 subscribers, Trendsetter. Check it up weekly. I do that. How about that?
Well, I'm sorry, Jeff. I have a life, okay? I have work that I got to do. I'm not constantly checking the numbers like you are. But I appreciate every single one of you over 700 subscribers and still going up and higher each week that I check it out. So I thank each and every one of you. It was physically possible. I know Jeff can't do this because he doesn't have the stamina for it. I would shake and thank and hug each and every one of you for supporting the YouTube channel, which is continually growing.
Yeah, folks, and again, Brian Pillman Jr. is up there. LAX is up there talking about their dream matches, and Brian Pillman Jr. talking about MLW, the experience at Battle Riot here in New York City. So definitely want to catch that. Go to the YouTube channel. Follow, like, and subscribe. High Spot Podcast. We are there for your viewing pleasure. Trendsetter, it's been another great show, man. Looking forward to next week. We're getting closer to SummerSlam, to Boardwalk Beatdown, and All In. Plus, we're going to be talking about pro wrestling, what we love talking about with you, the crew, Trendsetter. Great show tonight.
Great show, guys. And you can catch us every week, every Friday that we post, unless we take a week off, which is very rare now that we're getting busier as the summer's closely coming to an end. So, as Jeff has said it before, we are the Jersey Wrecking Crew. For Jeff Martin and my tag team partner, I am the Trendsetter. And don't you forget it, Brian Berga. Thanking you guys so much for listening to the High Spot Podcast. And remember, guys, when in doubt, always know this one thing if you learn nothing from the show, that we do this for one reason and one reason only. We do this for you, the crew.
We out.